I'm back. What's up, y'all? Welcome back to Negro Please Radio with me, Chris Allen. How y'all doing? I want to apologize right off the top. I'm a couple days late. My bad. Anniversary was a couple days ago, Tuesday. Oh, did y'all hear that? I'm sorry. That was some water I just drank. But yeah, I'm sorry. I usually release the podcast on Tuesdays. My anniversary was Tuesday. Yesterday, I did a show. I got back late. You know what, I probably just should have did it in my car, but I got back home super late, and I wanted to go to bed. So I apologize that this podcast is almost 3 days late, almost. I apologize. As usual, I want to thank everyone that listens. I want all the new listeners I have. Thank you. I appreciate it. Welcome back, y'all. What have I been doing? Wednesday through Sunday, I was over in Richmond working the Funny Bone. Had a great time. Wednesday night was headliner Corey Marshall. Shout out to Corey Marshall. He was recently picked up by Rodman. If that name sounds familiar, Rodman won this most current season of Last Comic Standing. And I guess he saw Corey performing and he was like, "Hey, I want to take you on the road. Hey, I want to pay for your plane tickets, your hotels, and I want to pay you good money to come open for me in front of hot, ready crowds." I mean, getting picked up by a comic like that is like a dream for any comic. That was a disgusting burp, and I'm not going to edit it out. I'm keeping it. So shout out to Corey Marshall. He headlined that show Wednesday. Had a good time. Met some other cool comics. Jaye Toler, super funny, cool as hell. Came down to the club almost every night, hung out. We had a lot of fun, man. That was my first time working the Funny Bone in Richmond. And for those who don't know the comedy community, it's a close-knit community, but at the same time, we're assholes. It's a tough group of people to kind of break into because the turnover in comedy is so high. You know, you get a lot of people that come out a couple times and you never see them again. A lot of shit. Most of the people come out once and they're done. They don't come back. You kind of get those guys that might stick around for a couple months and they disappear. But there's not a whole lot of people that really stick it out for years. And I'm not patting myself on the back, but you just see a lot of guys drop out in the beginning, you know, a couple years in, and it just, you know, it's like, I can't do it. But I say that to say they were very, very welcoming. You know, when you're new to a scene, it can be very, it can be somewhat standoffish, you know. And another thing, too, there's a lot of people who embellish their credits. I can't say a lot. There's enough people that embellish their credits about what they've done, who they've worked with and all that kind of stuff. And it kind of makes other comics skeptical of a comic new to the area. But, I mean, they were super cool, man. They welcomed me with open arms and, you know, kicked it with them. I got to meet a few more Richmond comics. And it was cool, man, because I know how it could be. It can be tough being a new guy in town. So shout out to both Corey Marshall and Jaye Toler for being cool. The headliner was Roy Wood Jr. If you haven't seen him, make sure you check him out. Roy Wood is cool. He was one of the co-stars on the hit show on TBS, Sullivan and Son. Unfortunately, it didn't make it to its fourth season. TV's tough. But yeah, look him up, Facebook, YouTube, all that type of stuff, man. It was a pleasure, and like it's enjoyable, but it also sucks watching somebody like Roy work because it's like, damn it, I need to throw everything away that I've written. I'm gonna go home, I'm gonna burn all my books, and I'm gonna take the ashes and spread them into the Potomac River or whatever body of water is there, or flush them down the toilet. It's just they make you feel like what you're doing isn't shit, and that's not always a bad thing. You know, it's motivating actually. It's just like, damn it, I need to be better. You know, I had quite a few pretty good sets, and it's like, yeah, that was pretty good. And then Roy goes up and just erases everything that's been done by both comics. And Mike Spingberg was hilarious. He had great sets, but Roy did what he was supposed to do as a headliner, and that's pretty much make you forget that anybody else was on the show. I met Roy a few years ago in Dayton. He's been cool, man, and I was fortunate to be here while he was here. So when I saw that, I contacted the manager immediately and was like, yo, can I get that weekend? He was like, that's what's up. See you on Thursday. So that's what I did, man. Thursday, one show. Friday, two shows. Saturday, two shows. Sunday, one show. And it was a blast, man. I was a little nervous about Thursdays and Sundays because those are usually pretty slow nights, a lot of free tickets, and you kind of get the crowds that just kind of don't want to be there. And working a new club can be different, too. It's weird, man, because it's just getting to know the club, the dimensions of the stage, how you sound from the stage, how the mic sounds. I mean, just all that little stuff that people think wouldn't matter. Like, they have a really, really heavy mic stand there. And it was just like, the first time I went up there, I was like, damn, I tried to pick it up. And I was like, oh, shit. And I, like, actually had to try and then move it to the back. And I see, and I know that sounds silly, but, you know, it's just you kind of get used to the rhythms of the clubs that you work at, you know. And just, like, the physical space, too. You have to be comfortable with the physical space of the club. Like Toledo Funny Bone was an awkwardly shaped club for me at first. It's like really long off to the stage right, and I wasn't used to that. For some reason, it would just really, really throw me off. The room seemed cavernous, and it was just, I feel like I just couldn't connect with people. But this club, I got comfortable pretty quick. I mean, there was a couple of times I might have been a little too quick, a little too fast with my words. But, you know, it's just telling yourself to slow down and just taking your time. I had a great time, man. I had a lot of fun, a lot of awesome, awesome crowds, very diverse crowds. Dayton was, mainly Caucasian, if you will. But, this whole weekend, it was like 50-50, 60-40, black, white. I mean, it was a cool atmosphere, man. I'm looking forward to going back. So shout out to the Richmond Funny Bone, Jason Dixon, for putting me on, and all the people I met there. I had a good time, man. And like I said, it was my anniversary Tuesday. Shout out to Bot, 10 years going strong. Love her to death. And here's to many, many more. Many more. Love you, bae. Super Bowl coming up. Don't have a dog in the fight. I just want to see a good game. I really do. Just want to see a good game. I can't go against Tom Brady, and that Seattle Seahawks team is dope. So it's a toss up. I just want to see a shootout. Fuck it. I want to see a shootout. I want to see it come down to the wire. I want to see some dope plays. I want to see some big hits, and I want excitement from end to end. I'm going to make some chicken wings. I'm thinking about doing some nachos, and I'm just going to chill and watch the game, man. A lot of people talking about Marshawn Lynch and his antics, you know, with these phrases. I'm glad you asked this question, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I don't understand why athletes really have to talk to the press. I mean, I get it. It's in their contract. But I feel like you should be able to, like, opt out and just buy out and say, I don't want to talk. I mean, most of the time people are telling athletes to shut up. And here's a dude who doesn't want to talk, and they want to make him fucking talk. I mean, how many times can you ask a guy, what are you doing to prepare for a game? He's doing the same shit he's been doing the last 18 weeks. He's been doing the same shit ever since he started playing in the league. There's nothing different. How many times can you ask a guy how great the other quarterback is? What do you think about Richard Sherman? You know what I mean? It's just, and then if guys give honest answers, people get upset and call these men cocky. Call them cocky. but still get upset talking about how the world is too PC and people just can't say what they want to say. That's funny to me. They want athletes to be humble and PC and kiss each other's asses and all this kind of stuff. But everybody else should be able to just run off at the mouth. I like my athletes being cocky, man. It adds excitement to the game. It adds another dimension. I just don't get, I mean, I see so many people on, you know, Yahoo Sports, ESPN blogs, and just Facebook about how Marshawn Lynch is a piece of shit because he's not a class act. And but it's just like, dude, I don't see why you care. Do you really care? If he starts talking too much, you want him to shut up. And if he doesn't speak perfect English, you're going to talk about his pronunciation, his diction. I can't believe that guy went to college. Look at his dreads. Look, it's just people just want a bitch. You shouldn't have to talk, man. You should just be able to pay a flat fine at the beginning of the year. Like, you know what? Here's $500,000. I don't want to talk. Done. And if I'm wrong for that, hey, as long as you're doing everything else, that's fine. As long as you show up to play. And the thing is, a lot of these sports writers announce they have egos just like the players do. They are the LeBrons and Kevin Durant's and Marshawn Lynch's and Russell, I almost said Russell Peters. He's a comic. The Russell Wilsons of their realm. You know, Skip Bayless. All those dudes, man, they have egos too. They get mad when athletes don't want to talk to them. I mean, they get asked the same question over and over and over again. It's just like, yo, you just asked that question. What did you not like it? Deflategate. Don't care. I don't care about Deflategate. I think a lot of it is just people just don't like the Patriots. I didn't really, you know, follow the entire story of Deflategate. It's just people don't like the Patriots. They lose and they want to start looking at reasons as to why they lost. You know, they found a fucking ball that was 0.3 PSI, you know, less than whatever. It didn't match the atmospheric pressure of a fucking hyperbolic chamber in I don't know, fucking some type of atmosphere. I don't fucking know. I'm just trying to sound smart and I'm not. So, who wins? I don't know. I have no. It's a toss up, man. It's a toss up. I can't go against Tom Brady. I wouldn't be surprised if the Seattle Seahawks won. I guess I'll go ahead and pick. I'll say the Patriots. There you go. Score. Not gonna do a score because I have no clue whatsoever. You know what? Damn it! I should have did this first before I went to the sports. Back to the comedy. I had some friends back in Dayton post a video of a open mic in Lima, Ohio, which isn't too far from Dayton. But apparently on this show, you were not supposed to swear. And prior to this video, the comic prior, I guess he went up and did a lot of cursing. So this next comic, whose name I won't say because I don't know the fucking dude. But he goes up and he goes, hey, they said we shouldn't cuss. But that dude was cussing. I'm going to ask a question. Who wants me to not cuss? No one clapped. Who wants me to cuss? Everybody starts clapping. The MC of the show is kind of like, hey, dude, don't do that. You know, just obey the rules. You know, don't worry about the last dude. Just obey the rules. So that comic starts to get upset. And he's talking shit. And then eventually into the frame of the camera, you see the MC come up and he puts the mic stand in front of the comic, symbolizing you're done. So the comic gets upset, throws the microphone. The MC's head turns to follow the thrown mic. And as his head turns, he gets sucker punched by this comic. That's terrible, man. We can't have that shit. So, apparently, he's been banned from pretty much any shows and or clubs in Ohio, and I'm pretty sure it's probably going to reach beyond that. The last time I saw the link for that video, It was actually on World Star Hip Hop, and I think it before it was on World Star, I saw that it had almost like, I want to say 60,000-ish views, or maybe 45,000 views. So that is a way to end your career before you really start it. So for someone that's been doing comedy for 3 months, that's not how how you handle yourself. To me, I mean, that dude seemed to be upset about something else, and obviously he wasn't prepared. Maybe been a little embarrassed, but, I mean, to just haul off and punch the dude, maybe they had some other shit going on, but to me, that's something that someone who doesn't have anything else to do would do. And so to me, I take it as he really didn't want to do his stage time, so that was the best way for him to get off stage. There was nothing else to do. He was embarrassed. He fucked up, and that was the only thing he can do. And if this guy was serious about comedy, that shit is over with. I mean, you can recover from stealing jokes, you know? You could say, hey, I was young, I was stupid. I mean, there's famous comics now that have stolen jokes. But, I mean, when you fucking punch somebody on stage, you're pretty much done. You're done. Unless you go on hiatus for years and then you come back and no one remembers. But with this social media, I mean, that video is on the internet now, and it always will be. So that's terrible. And I got, you know, at first, I was going to respond to the video. I was going to say, you know, he did say, and again, I'm not condoning what the guy did at all, but the comic did say the comic in front of him swore like 50 times. Why should I have to not curse now? And at first I was going to say like, hey, you have to police the room the same for everybody. Then I got to thinking, you really don't. The rules are different for everybody. I've been on shows. Matter of fact, the first time I ever, I did a guest spot for Roy in Cincinnati, I was told not to swear. When you come onto a guest spot on a show that is blue, they can tell you, hey, you can't cuss. And a lot of times, like back in the day, like when my mentor came up back in the early 90s and shit, as an MC, you couldn't curse at all. Everybody else could. You hadn't earned that right. So, I mean, I had to correct my own way of thinking and go, you know what? It doesn't matter what the next comic did. The rules for the show were to not curse. You can't worry about what the other person did. You just have to go by what they told you. Sometimes you don't know who went in front of you. So that's my take on it. I'm sorry that happened to that dude. And if that guy was ever serious about doing comedy, he's done, man. There's other ways to handle that. Especially if I have some other shit going on off stage. If y'all gonna fight off the stage, man. It's ignorant shit. And speaking of, I don't want to call it ignorant, but I saw a news story, and I think I posted it on my page. And it's the article is called "Strong Black Woman Marries Herself." All right, that's just taking it to a whole nother fucking level, y'all. I mean, marrying yourself, I guess this woman, she wasn't married by 40, and according to the article, it didn't look like she was going to get married anytime soon. So she decided to marry herself. She was given back to herself by her mom, and the woman goes, the ceremony couldn't have been any better. Yes, it could have if he had a goddamn husband or a man there. That's how it could have been better. And come on, man. It's just, that's desperate. That's desperate, y'all. Come on, man. It's like, this whole notion of the quote-unquote strong black woman, I mean, there's strong women of all races, but this strong black woman trying to start a movement of motherfuckers marrying themselves. And then this article has the nerve to say, due to the high number of dead black men and locked up black men and black men marrying out of the race, most of the good men are taken. Are you counting the dead and in jail motherfuckers as good men? That makes no sense. Now, I don't know this woman, but just looking at her, she looks like the type that just has ridiculously high, stupid standards that she can't even fucking meet. And that's why she's by herself. Or, and I get it, You have a preference, or you just sitting around waiting for a black bitch, marry somebody. Just get married. Find somebody that will love you if you leave you. He don't have to be black. Get somebody. Are you marrying yourself? Have a damn birthday party. You dragging motherfuckers to a wedding to yourself? That's stupid. Have a party. Why are you trying to take marriage away from people and marrying yourself? What does that mean? What the fuck does that even mean? You're marrying yourself. What does that even mean? That's ridiculous. And now if you meet somebody, you can't even date them because you'll be cheating on yourself. That's some new level. At first, I thought it was like an Onion article. It's just, I was like, is this shit real? It's real. Let's not start this trend. If you get a wedding anniversary to someone that marries herself, please cordially decline to go to that bitch. Don't fucking go. That's ridiculous, marrying your goddamn self. You need to grow up. Stop trying to take marriage from people and try to own. I'm strong. I'm going to marry myself. Stupid ass. Ugh. That got me upset. Yeah. So another news article that pissed me off, man. In Florida, again, of all places, Florida. Florida's always doing crazy shit. I saw the video. And of course, they don't want to make this racial. Now there's a 62-year-old black guy, grandfather, walking. He's a licensed concealed carry guy, all legal. Apparently his gun somehow was it was seen under his shirt, or the wind blew his coat, or somehow a piece of the gun was showing, and then some 42-year-old white dude sees him. Follows, he's walking in. This guy's walking out, turns around. And as this old dude's walking into Walmart, he runs up to him from behind and like choke slams him and takes this dude's gun away from him. And the part that kills me, there are people who don't even know what's going on and help this man and take his gun. And we talk about equal rights and gun rights. It's just they don't, people in America don't like seeing black men with guns. They really don't. As much as they try to, I read all these comments, this is not about race at all. You know, people making the excuse and getting into semantics. It's concealed. That's his fault for peace. It's just like, come on, man. Seriously? I don't know why they call him a vigilante. He didn't really know. He thought he was doing something. No, so what if this old man shot this guy? Then what? Let's be honest. As much as I hate to, let's be honest. If this was a black dude trying to take down a white guy because he had a gun, people would lose their shit. But luckily, this dude was charged with assault, and hopefully he never does this shit again because he could have caused himself, that old man, or somebody else, their life. I mean, what if this guy got a hold of his own gun and shot at him and it hit somebody else? Trying to be a hero. And I can't, there's people who are actually trying to defend him. He's not really a vigilante. He just wasn't sure. What if he was going in to rob the place? Well, what if that motherfucker was just a legal card-carrying member of, I don't even know what the, what do you call it? What if he was just a legal concealed carry permit holder? What about that? Oh, he was. Yeah, but what if? Well, if that's the case, then we need to tackle everybody with a gun because what if? That's crazy. You got people walking around Target with a big-ass AR-15. That's okay.